Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 15. This morning we looked at the request and the rebellion and the repentance of the younger son, and then the reconciliation or the reception by the father. And this evening we're going to look at the older brother. Before we get into our actual study, let me read verses 25 through 32 of Luke chapter 15 for you. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near the house, he heard the music and the dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living, notice he said, thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet or fitting that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. We have 2 points in tonight's message. We have the older son's reaction, and we have the father's response to this action. And really, even under the first point, we see the father's response. So really, the father's response is seen throughout this dialogue. Under the older son's reaction, which is our first point, we see from verse 25 that this older son had been out in the field overseeing the workers. And let's understand that he was out in the field supervising. Noblemen in the Middle East usually didn't work. To a certain point, that was beneath them. And so their responsibility was to watch others to make sure they did the work. Now, you can, those of you in supervision positions, you know that that can be work too. But the point here is this older son was not doing manual labor. But then when he did come in from the field, one author writes that was where he always seemed to be, he heard music. People were dancing. A celebration was taking place. And knowing nothing about it, in other words, why it was taking place, he summoned, as we see in verse 26, one of the servants, a servant boy, and asked him, well, what's going on? Why all these festivities? Which tells us that the son was not in the loop regarding what was taking place. Even though, as the firstborn, the responsibility for planning it should have fallen on his shoulders. After all, it was his resources from his share of the estate that were being used for the party. Which raises the question, why had he not been consulted? Why did the father go ahead and have this really impromptu party when his younger son came back? Surely he should have said something to the older brother. Now, legally, his father did not have to get permission from his older son to use the family resources, even though 2/3 of the estate had already been given to him. For according to a legal principle known as a usufruct, you need to practice that before you say it, the father retained control of the estate as long as he lived. In other words, he did still have the final word. Now, the reason the father did not consult his son was he and his son had no relationship. And I find that just so sad. Something as big as his younger brother coming home, being restored, being reconciled to the family, and this older son knew nothing about it. In terms of his relationship to his family, he was metaphorically and literally far away in the field. He was out standing in the field. I say how sad, for how enriching for both father and son when there is a wholesome, godly relationship. I thank the Lord for my sons and the relationship we have. Notice in verse 27, the servant's response. And he said unto him, thy brother's come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Safe and sound. Now in the Middle East, they didn't fillet the meat. They chopped it up in slabs of meat. And then they would cook these chunks of meat in the bread oven. So that's what was taking place. And in this instance, of course, they did so because the father had received his son back, as we just read, safe and sound. And I love that. Safe and sound. The Greek used here for safe and sound is used in the Septuagint to refer to peace, which makes the point the servant boy was saying, your brother is not just physically okay, your father has received him back in peace. He certainly didn't leave in peace, did he? But now he's back, and there is peace between father and son, which means there is full reconciliation between this servant boy said to the older son, your father and your brother, your father has made peace. Well, rather than join in the happy times, the elder brother became angry. Verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. The Greek for he was angry used here carries the idea of swelling, settled anger that rises like a sap in a tree on a hot day, which tells us he was boiling and consequently he refused to go in. The son could not rejoice over the recovery of his lost brother because he had no love for his father and he certainly had no love for his brother. He did not understand unmerited favor. Free forgiveness, restoration, reconciliation. That is what makes Christianity such a beautiful thing. Unmerited favor. Free forgiveness, restoration, reconciliation. Are not those beautiful terms? The significance behind what each one of those words means. But like the scribes and the Pharisees, this older son never saw himself as a sinner needing a Savior. And what did Christ say about such a heart? You outwardly appear righteous before men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and sin. You can find that in Matthew 23, verse 28. The younger son's sin was sin of passion. The older brother's sin was sin of a wrong, evil attitude of his heart. Well, in contrast to this Pharisaical legalism, this father tried to show the same compassion and patience that he manifested toward his younger son, which tells me he loved both sons equally. Verse 28, therefore came his father out and entreated him. Like he had welcomed back his younger son, his father left the festival and went to the older son, and he begged this sinner, this hypocrite, to come and be a part. Keep in mind, the way this older son was acting, the father could have taken some drastic measures. He could have ordered that this son be beaten. He could have ordered that this son be locked up. But we see nothing of that. There was no returning evil for evil, even though this older son was now dishonoring his father. So he went out again to his son, which tells us he tried to reach out to this son, this hypocrite, in the same way he had reached out to his rebel brother. Now the Greek used here for entreat, parakaleo, comes from the Greek word for the Holy Spirit, paraclete, which of course means the one who comes alongside, which tells us the Father came out, and like the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and entreats us and endeavors to speak to our hearts, he got right beside his son and pleaded with him to be a part of the celebration. But the son refused. Notice what he said. Verse 29, and he answering said to his father, lo. Notice he didn't say father, he didn't say dad, there was no title, there was no respect, just lo. No, yes, sir, or let me explain, sir, lo. And then he continued, these many years do I serve thee. Now, the Greek used here means to serve as a slave. To this older brother, his many years of working under his father had been nothing but slavery, which tells us there was no love or respect for his father. In his mind, he was toiling in misery. As he worked and as he waited for his father to die, he just did what he did out of duty and not out of delight. So what he was doing was he was waiting on his father to die. But really, he was just like his brother. His brother wanted his inheritance now, but the son, the older son, wanted his inheritance now too. It's just that he wasn't going to say, Dad, I think you need to die before I get it. Micah 6:8 tells us, he has showed us, O man, what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We can serve the Lord. We can do justly. We can do right. But God wants us to add what we do right. He wants us to add to that, that we demonstrate kindness or mercy. The idea is, we can do what we do out of duty, but really our duty should be translated into a delightful thing. What that's saying is there's a covenant loyalty. When we do what we do because we love the Lord, our labors for the Lord are not because of duty, but they're done out of delight. It puts our Christianity on a totally different level. Now, to pull this off, we have to walk humbly with God. And that word humbly in the Hebrew means we have to walk modestly. There is to be a sense of dependence upon the Lord. But here we see this brother looked at his service for his father. He looked at it as being a slave to his father. How sad. And then next, there is a classic expression of self-righteous hypocrisy when he emphatically stated, "Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment." Reflecting the capacity for self-deception exhibited by the hypocrites who think they are good, the older son saw himself as one of the 99 righteous persons who needed no repentance. What this son was saying is, "Dad, I don't need to ask you for forgiveness. I haven't done anything wrong. The truth is, you need to ask me for forgiveness for what you have done." Which, ladies and gentlemen, is the outrage of legalism. This is how the legalist loves. But this son wasn't finished. Again, verse 29, "Yet thou never gavest me a kid, a goat, that I might make merry with my friends." Heaven never holds a party for a self-righteous man. And notice here that the people who really mattered to him, those he wanted to party with, were not his family, but his friends. Let me say, young people, be careful when in your heart your family is no longer welcome. Your family are the people that love you the most. They are the ones that truly love you. Friends come and go. Young people want to give more credence to their relationship with their friends than with their family. I can promise you, 50 years down the road, it's your family that will still be standing with you. And then in verse 30, we see a further assault on his father's character, his integrity, his virtue. "But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." Perhaps the older son was thinking of Deuteronomy chapter 21, which says, if you spend your money on harlots, you get killed. You get stoned to death. But instead, Dad, rather than obeying the law, you threw this party. Now, one note of clarification. The fatted calf was not killed for the son. It was killed for the father. For the father was the one who gets the credit. For he was the reconciler. I mean, the son, yes, wanted to come back, but there has to be one who initiates and who makes happen the reconciliation. I mean, if only one person wants to be reconciled, it doesn't really work. You have to have both. And especially in this instance, the father had to take the lead. And so how appropriate that the father was being honored. For when we get to heaven, the direction of our praise isn't going to be toward the sinners saved by grace. It's going to be directed toward the Savior of our grace. Well, we come now to the father's response. Notice verse 31. He said, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." And I say, what a tender, loving response. The word translated son here is not huios, the term used in verses 11, 13, 19, 21, 24, 25, and 30, but the more affectionate term, technon, which can be translated my boy, my child. He was speaking to him in endearing, gracious terms, which reminds us how merciful and kind God is as a loving, compassionate Savior. It is hard to get a Pharisee saved. And this son who acted like a Pharisee is proof of that. Maybe you knew this, maybe you didn't, but there are only two Pharisees in the entire Bible who ever got saved. Nicodemus and Paul. With the Pharisees, God's goodness did not lead them to repentance. And then he concluded with verse 32, "It was meet, it was fitting that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found." In essence, the father was saying, we had no choice. We had to celebrate. And this is what causes joy to God. This is heaven's joy. Son, it can't be restrained. It can't be postponed. It can't be subdued. God is saying here, Christ is saying here, I have come to seek and to save the lost. And when the lost is found, shouldn't it be a natural thing for heaven then to rejoice? Now the question that we all need to now ask is, how did this story end? Did he, the older son, follow his younger brother's example, and was he as well reconciled to his father? Well, there are 8 stanzas in the first half of the story that feature, of course, the younger son. But there are only 7 stanzas in the second half that reference the older son. And so we ask, well, what about the ending? Well, the Pharisees wrote the ending. And this is the end they wrote. And the older son, being outraged at his father, picked up a piece of wood and beat him to death in front of everyone. That is the ending they wrote, which is a picture of the cross. For that is what the Pharisees and the scribes did just a few months after this story. And by the way, they congratulated themselves on their righteous act that preserved the honor of Israel and Judaism and true religion and God. But again, out of that horrible ending of killing God's son with wood came our redemption. And yes, the final shameful resolution of the story is the cross, but out of that, God has wrought our redemption. And aren't we glad? For on that cross, he died to bear our sins. And so what the leaders of Israel meant for evil, God has meant for good. And we say, Lord, we thank you for this glorious salvation. Now let me ask you, are you one of the folks at the party because you too have been redeemed, or are you like the older son, estranged from God? Estranged from God, living a secret, lawless life. I say, if you are of the latter company, come to Jesus. For he left his throne to plead with you, and now our good and gracious God delights in showing you mercy. He finds joy, his joy, in your forgiveness. Think about what makes God happy. Think about what makes God joyful when he sees you with a heart that desires forgiveness. Don't stand outside. Come. Come in and join the feast. Join the feast. We have the older son's reaction. We have the father's response.